Let's get into our business unusual feature today, the function of diversity and inclusion programs at the workplace. Often scoffed at those that have to spend the money at the company, but quite important to make sure the company culture is quite healthy and, of course, great for production. Jabu Zwane, Mindset Development Specialist, Executive Coach and Keynote Speaker, joining us for this conversation.
The Money Show.
Business unusual.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion are three closely linked values held by many organizations around the world that are working to be supportive of different groups of individuals, including people with different races, ethnicities, religions, abilities, genders, and sexual orientations. But whenever businesses face a tough time, the first budget that usually is cut is things like the functioning of diversity and inclusion programs. Jabu Zwane, what could be the problem with companies doing that?
Well, the challenge with that, good evening. Thank you so much for having me, and good evening to the viewers, to the listeners as well. The challenge with that is that it doesn't address something that has been an issue and systematically implemented for decades, if not for centuries, and that is the prejudice of black people and mainly also people of color all throughout the world. The fact of the matter is that the prejudice economically, academically, socially happened in a systemic way, and I don't see how it's going to be possible to do that without having also a systemic approach towards it.
It's very important for modern organizations to have diversity, gender diversity, equity and inclusion in the company, and to have departments responsible for this, because, of course, you have to make sure that your workforce is quite happy with the environment that you have and the culture at the company is kept healthy. A lot of this is often overlooked. Can businesses lose out on productivity, on great ideas, if they're not focusing on these types of programs?
No, absolutely. I mean, it has totally been proven in terms of research that companies that have more diverse people tend to outperform those that do not. And let's think about, quite practically speaking, in a world that is so fast changing, there is a need for diversity of thought, diversity of skill, diversity of perception on these very complex matters. And so the moment that you're actually excluding a significant part of your society in your institutions, that basically means that you are losing out on that intellectual capital, but also on that different way of looking at things that can help you to approach, or that can help you to come up with more creative ways of doing the very same thing that you're trying to achieve as a company. I mean, it comes without even thinking too hard about it, that the more diverse thought you've got around problem solving and productivity, the better you are positioned as an institution.
A lot of employees are looking for companies that are futuristic, companies that can see them for who they are and accept them for who they are. As a business, how do you make sure then that you have all these systems in place to make sure that it's not just the salaries that you're offering, but also the culture and inclusivity that you offer that attracts the best talent?
And I actually love the word that you've mentioned about culture. For me, really, that's what it's about. It's about, first of all, cultural fluency. And cultural fluency is about understanding that people that come from different backgrounds, come from different cultures, and have come from a different way of looking at things. And if you're looking to host them in one particular area, it also means that you've got to be taking into consideration those cultural elements of where they come from. And so if we're thinking about the future, you have to have good programs that ensures that you are mindful of the diverse groups of people. It's not even about race so much, but it's what I'm saying, really, the culture that was not part of the corporate culture or the business culture for a very long time, and how denying the participation, safety, belonging of those types of cultures in a work environment causes stress and also, in a way, restricts your ability to collaborate, to have teamwork, and all of those are crucial elements for the success and profitability of your company. And so it's important that you've got such programs in place and be able to identify whether or not you are addressing them.
Not having such programs, of course, could cause a company to have tone deafness, if you will. if you perhaps building a new building and you have to cater for those with special needs within your company, mm-hmm. or those with religious beliefs, things like prayer rooms can be overlooked. Mm-hmm. and this can obviously play itself out on things like social media, and you find that it becomes a PR mess for the company.
No, absolutely. Look, I've got a daughter that has got special needs, and I've been struggling myself, even though I'm in this space. I've been struggling to find a school, for example, that can cater for her needs. It went so far as even having to find a school out in Eastern Cape, even though I'm based in Johannesburg. So immediately you can see how geographically, financially, physically, and otherwise that is impacting. And so similarly as well, if you take that example, that is exactly what we do as companies. We lose out on that wisdom, as I say, or that intellectual capital the moment we exclude those types of people. But at the very same time, if they're willing to work under constrained conditions, they are also unable to bring their best foot forward. And so I think it's crucial for companies to not only think about from the point of the money that you've got to spend now or the inconvenience of living in time now, but look at it long-term as well, as far as what companies can be able to gain from instituting such initiatives, but also what they are currently losing out without those types of programs.
There's been great debates in the U.S. between Republicans and Democrats over the spending bill in the U.S. And as a result, the U.S. House Office of Diversity and Inclusion was dissolved. And how could that affect? If such a big example as a government is mm-hmm. willing to dissolve such a department, what example is it setting then to the private sector?
It's actually very scary to think that, and imagining the fact that the USA has been the forefront of leading this type of work, and they have had some great successes. Many times we cite successes that have taken place in the United States, and to be in a place where today the Congress has gone as far as banning that and making it illegal, to the point where lots and lots of people are losing their work, and even state institutions such as universities are looking to lose money from the state if they are continuing with DEI programs. It's a problem because we normally do look to the United States with this type of things. And for me right now, I'm concerned as to how that is going to then affect South Africa. If you've got somebody like Elon Musk that is complaining about those type of things, and we can see that the state that he moved to, Florida, was the very first state to actually can that already last year, and then Texas, and now 18 other states have followed up. And so the rate of this type of change is happening so fast, which then goes to show that it's a concerning factor. I don't even know how to talk about it. It's a huge concern.
Looking at South Africa, Jabwe, and our unique history, our complicated history, and the oppression of one society, women in the boardroom, the fact that we still have that glass ceiling when it comes to women CEOs on the JSE. South African companies surely should be leading in this space, given that we have a lot of catching up to do with the rest of the world and making sure that those numbers are up.
Look, there's a lot of work that has been done, to be honest with you. There's a lot more. If you looked at the stats around what companies are spending money on, leadership used to be at the very top of that, and then, of course, high performance and other personal development factors. But DEI has gone up to the very top, and that also includes South Africa. So we can definitely commend corporate South Africa for stepping up to the podium. But we also do understand when we are in these places that we need to develop our own data and to address, as you have said, the unique history that South Africa is and the multiculturalism that South Africa is, which is in a way a bit different from what the United States or maybe the UK is. And but I must say, in terms of what South African corporates are doing, many of them are putting their money where their mouths are. But sad to say, there's quite a significant number that are still not seeing this as something that is important to address the imbalances of the past.
that significant number would be questioning just how much spend needs to be dispersed in order to deal with gender diversity, age diversity, ethnic diversity in the corporate sector. Because how much is enough? What true measure is it? You know, are we looking for a 50-50 complement when we're looking at our staff? Are we looking at a 60-40? What is the true measure of diversity and inclusion at a particular company?
I'm very wary in terms of numbers, but I also do understand why numbers are crucial, because numbers also do put a goal, and it's a bit difficult to achieve something without a particular goal. I think I'm more interested in the sustainable, how long the program runs for, and how companies actually look at whether or not it is yielding the results. And part of that is we have to look at the skills development, we have to look at the rate of promotion of those people that have been discriminated against, whether it be, as you've said, age, race, gender. And having that as something that you are continually reviewing and to see whether or not it is working. I think one of the greatest mistakes is that you have a once-off program and then you implement it and then you only look at it maybe after 18 months to see whether or not it works. But I think there has got to be an ongoing assessment of whether or not you are achieving your goals and what adjustments you need to make. And like as you've said, South Africa has got such complexity, and a big part of that, of course, being, for example, the geographical disadvantage of the many people of black people and colored people in South Africa. And if you're seeing that, for example, that a big number of those types of people are struggling to keep up, you're going to look at and say, okay, what is it that we can be able to do to level the play field and make them fair? If somebody's coming to work 4 hours later, arrives at work after 4 hours versus somebody who arrives at work at 1 o'clock, within an hour, is that really a fair way of being able to look at their performance? And then how do you then ensure that your programs of induction, of development, of promotion, of viewing performance do address some of those very crucial factors which contribute to whether or not a person can be able to succeed in their corporate environment?
I was going to go into those induction programs, especially when we look at to small and medium companies and how they can cost effectively make sure that they can have some of these inclusion and diversity programs. So what are the more money friendly ways of having such programs within companies that can't really afford them in a real way?
Thankfully, these days and age, I mean, there are many different courses online that, for example, some small companies that can be able to go and implement. If you go on Coursera, you can be able to find some DEI programs that you can familiarize yourself as a small company, and to at the very least give yourself a little bit of wisdom of understanding how these factors can impact your performance. Other than that, the other thing that you can do is just take a little poll in terms of understanding the people that are part of my company, where do they come from? How long does it take for them to get to work? You can also look at the levels of education in terms of the people that you've got going on. And then if they have issues of gaps in terms of the skills development, again, there are many online courses that are free that you can actually implement at a company level without having to employ some expensive consultant to come and implement the programs. The great thing about AI in this day and age, and the great thing about the digitization of education, is that there are quite a lot of online programs that you can be able to implement at a much cheaper rate. But the other important part of that, of course, is constant measurement to see whether or not they are working. And if they are not working, then constantly reviewing them and ensuring that they line up with the goals.
So something definitely every corporate and company should be having, diversity and inclusion programs. That was our Business Unusual feature tonight with Jabu Zwane, Mindset Development Specialist and Executive Coach.